This is Coastside Conversations, and my guest today is Sarah Collamer. Sarah, could you please say your title and your role in CAL FIRE?
My title is Forester. I am the Vegetation Management Program Forester for San Mateo County with CAL FIRE.
Okay, that's pretty specific. So it just happens that your assignment is in San Mateo County right now?
Yeah, I have a partner, Andy Hubb. He does the Santa Cruz side.
Where are you now?
I'm actually in the field. We are out at the Tomcat Ranch VMP, and we're using the bulldozer to crush some coyote brush so that it burns more readily.
All right. So since you happen to be on Tomcat Ranch, let's just take advantage of that. So what we're really talking about right now is a planned controlled burn that will take place at some time to be determined under just the right conditions at Tomcat Ranch. And so can you tell us a little bit about just the concept of controlled burns and why they are valuable?
As we all know, the landscape in California is dependent on fire. Ecosystem has evolved with fire. But control burns, we're trying to have it burn under our terms, where and when we want, with the intensity that we want, so that we still get the ecological benefits without, the socioeconomic costs. It's not, endangering people's lives or, just burning up people's ranches, people's homes. It's also a method of fuel reduction. That's a way nature herself does her own fuel reduction. So we're just taking advantage of that and doing it in a reduced intensity. And then also in locations that are tactical, ridgetops or prominent ridgetops, hillsides, areas that have a frequent fire history, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm. And so in this particular case, does this area have a special reason for being burned at this point in time?
Well, there's lots of reasons why we're trying to encourage fire on this ranch at this time. One of the big issues is that to do a controlled burn effectively, you need a big piece of property. And so it's helpful to have one landowner rather than lots of small landowners for a project. Administratively, that's helpful. Also, this area is traditionally been coastal prairie, and as most of San Mateo, the fir is encroaching and the coyote brush is encroaching, and so we're trying to encourage grass to replace that fuel type.
And do they have native grasses there?
They do have native grasses, and they have a mix of native and non-native. I don't know a whole lot about the grass ecology.
Okay. And the reason that you're doing it now, I mean, part of it is we've just lived through what we know is not the best approach, which is let nature take its course, have a lightning storm, and then everything burns out of control. That's what we'd like to avoid going forward. But what is the specific thing on Tomcat Ranch? I mean, it seems like it's not very forested. It's just pretty much grassland with maybe some trees here and there, but not like forests. So what is the advantage of burning there?
Where you have a medium level fuel load, it's not a heavy fuel load. So you can more easily stop a fire when you have a lighter fuel load. If we were to put, right, if the fire was approaching from the north, right, it's a north wind event, which is typical for this area, and the fire is blowing in from the north, and then this ridge I'm standing on right now, it has medium amount of brush and some grass. We could easily put a dozer line through it very quickly and burn out of that dozer line and have a chance at stopping that fire. If in a heavy wooded area like the Butano truck trail, Butano Ridge, it's very difficult to stop a fire because you have so much vegetation. One spark can easily get out of control.
So it's nice to have something controllable. And is there a danger that there could be an uncontrollable fire there? I mean, is it prone to that kind of fire where you are?
I don't have a lot of I don't have a lot of information about the fire history in San Mateo County. Our records aren't that great, and they start, in the 60s. So
okay.
I don't really know. We have no record of that in my office. And it's really hard to tell. Okay. But you know, there is, you know, fire history in coastal California.
Oh, sure. No, I just read a book about the missions and how at the time that the missions were established, they really basically stopped the Native Americans, the indigenous people from doing their controlled burns, which had been such a part of their lives. And it had really helped to prevent the kind of extreme circumstances we lived through with the CCU wildfires. So I think a lot of people at this point are kind of thinking back and thinking, well, hey, these guys managed the land and that was better. So we should learn how to do that too. I suspect you've got some training and background in history in controlled burns. So what is the thought in Cal Fire at this point about doing regular controlled burns?
You know, we have a very ambitious goal of, you know, I can't even remember what the latest one, 100,000 acres burned every year. Cal Fire is very pro prescribed burning. You know, and there, you're correct. There's a huge history between the Native Americans did plenty of burning. Then the new frontiersmen or immigrants, they would still do burning. Ranchers, you know, even Tomcat Ranch has been, you know, historically burned. But unfortunately, as these areas become more densely populated, that becomes more challenging. If you have smoke impacts on a town, that becomes greater. You have, you know, homes in areas that you didn't have homes before. So one of the biggest challenges is just not negatively affecting the Californians that live here now.
Right.
You know, they say that, you know, I guess this is what I was told. You know, the Portuguese in Butte County, they were sheep ranchers. And when they would move the sheep out of the high country, you know, the old saying was to throw a match, the last guy throws a match. Right. And that canyon just burns, and then the winter rains and snow put it out. But unfortunately, you know, that canyon probably has a couple houses in it now. So we've got to work around that.
Absolutely. And I think there's quite a few structures on Tomcat Ranch itself, barns and sheds and housing, et cetera. But you're right. I mean, it's now in an area that is much more inhabited than it was hundreds of years ago. And I think when the Native Americans were still burning, it was, you know, like late 1700s. So in this particular case, can you tell me how big this burn is going to be and kind of what are you looking for as far as a ideal circumstance, ideal weather conditions and things like that?
Well, we're starting small. We're still building capacity. You know, there is not a lot of prescribed burning. There's no prescribed burning going on in San Mateo County right now. We're burning piles and that's it. And so we're trying to kind of build capacity. We do burn in Santa Cruz County, other counties, but we are limited by the airshed that we're in. We're in the Bay Area Air Quality District. So we're competing with San Francisco. We're competing with all the cars on 280. We're competing with, you know, the industry, all the air pollution that industry, the dry cleaners in San Bruno, all that stuff is also emitting carbon or, you know, has air quality impacts. And so my prescribed burn is going to compete with those other uses, you know, other impacts to air quality, which is unfortunate. It makes it more difficult to burn. So,
although I would think that the shelter in place situation we have right now makes it far easier, at least that there's less of a commute than there was. So that's one good thing.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope it does.
Yeah. And that'll stay the way it is for a few months at least. So, okay. Well, the main reason that I'm talking to you is to make sure that the residents of the community are fully apprised as to the plan to have a prescribed burn and the precautions that are being taken and the background behind it so that people can feel confident that this isn't something that's going to get out of control. It's also going to be done carefully, not just in terms of controlling the blaze, but making sure that the fire is not contaminating the air unduly. And so What weather conditions, or are you just waiting for an air control person to say, well, now would be a good time?
So we have done a VMP, which is a document, which is basically a CEQA document where we have analyzed the potential impacts and addressed them. We have, so, and I'll even start with, like, we have an environmental scientist on staff. He's brand new this year, Matthew Mosier. He's been really important in this project because he's helped me analyze all the threatened and endangered species that could potentially be here and how to avoid impacts on them, which is really helpful. That was a real difficult thing. I'm not a biologist. And, you know, the one thing that always comes up is San Francisco garter snake. And right. You know, he's able to survey for it or determine that these are conditions when the snake won't be in this location. So that's been really helpful. You know, and just to know that I'm not impacting the critters, right? I mean, that's important. Right. Definitely right. to me. And we did an archaeological survey. You know, we had an archaeologist come out and survey the area. We did a record search to make sure that there's a low probability of disturbing any cultural artifacts. That's also part of the plan. And then, you know, as far as safety is concerned and actual operations and not impact. So we do submit a smoke management plan with the Bay Area Air Quality District Management District. Okay. And they review it. And I submit the fuel loading and how much carbon I think is going to be emitted by this burn. And then a week before the run, I would do like a courtesy notification, then you notify them the day before and then the day of to receive the final allocation of how much you can burn, the acreage and the fuel loading. And we do, obviously, the most important thing is really just to, when you're actually, we do a test burn prior to actually lighting the whole thing off. We do a test burn to see which way the wind is blowing and if we're getting the right consumption, that kind of thing. You know, the wind we're really looking for is 10 miles an hour and under. You know, we want good enough wind to push the fire and to get good consumption, but not so much that we're getting spots, we're getting erratic fire behavior and we can't control it. So it's a small amount that's actually really good for it. So what we're doing right now is we're using a bulldozer to crush the coyote brush so that it's dead. And that way we'll have a higher dead component when we burn it. So we can burn it when the fuels around the burn are green and lush, right? If we burn it, it could be, you know, late spring, early summer burn. And that way the surrounding brush would be green. And we have a reduced chance of escape.
But you would have dead coyote brush and that would help fuel the fire.
That will help. Exactly. Yep. Okay. Yep. You want some fuel, but not too much, right? You want enough to get good consumption. You want a hot fire. We want to knock back the brush. We want to knock back the encroaching fur, so that we get a lot of these disturbance-dependent grasses and flowering annuals that are becoming rare and threatened in the peninsula.
Okay, so you're saying the fire actually does help certain of the plants, the things that would naturally grow there that need fire. This encourages their growth.
Yeah.
So, okay, and that's good to know. So it sounds like a lot of planning has already gone into this, and a lot of paperwork as well. But no date has been determined because you're waiting for the ideal conditions at the right time, meaning it's not going to happen right away. You've got to wait until probably like the end of March or early April at a minimum. Am I right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. All right. And so crushing these coyote bushes, which, you know, are ubiquitous, they're everywhere, and they do seem to be, they survived the fire very well, it seemed to me. I looked around after the fire near Cloverdale, and the bottom half of the coyote bushes were burned, singed, but the top still had green leaves. It was amazing. So those guys are very resilient.
And that's why the reason I'm insisting on crushing them is so that we get, you know, you modify that fuel arrangement so that you don't, it just doesn't blow through the bottom, but you actually kill some of the plant.
Uh-huh. And you are actually burning something. Can you name some species that are encouraged by fire? I think you started to do that. Prairie grasses. What were the things you mentioned?
So there are, as far as fire dependent species, it's a lot of flowering annuals. I've been told the popcorn flower is one of them. Any of those flowering plants that require full sun, there a lot of them are getting outcompeted by brush and trees.
All right. So this is a way of getting the annuals back, the wildflowers.
Correct.
And that sounds exciting. That's a very fun thought.
Yeah, I mean,
I've
been told too that the San Francisco garter snake does prefer open areas and grasses. So we're hoping that, this will provide San Francisco garter snake more habitat. If it's more grassy, they're more likely to inhabit this area. They do like full sun.
I think, yeah, snakes in general do. They like to warm up is my understanding. I have a granddaughter who's really into snakes, and I've heard that. on the other hand, I think that snakes are just using it to traverse from one wet spot to another. They like to eat red-legged frogs down by creeks and ponds.
Yeah.
But yeah, then they like to go bask in the sun while they're digesting or maybe traversing. So. And then aside from the wildlife on the ground, I know that there are some very, if not officially threatened, at least really threatened bird species like the marbled murrelet. And I wonder if you know if you're in a marbled murrelet flyway over there.
I'm not at this location. We are not. Because that would require additional analysis, shall we say? I know that,
There's somebody'd have to do a survey and find the nests and all that kind
correct.
Of stuff, see how far away.
This area,
so that's a good
thing. And also, they do require, they do like right old growth trees, like with good screening trees, and this is pretty open. We have fir, but not fir in dense enough clumps that a marbled murrelet would want to build a nest.
Okay. So, wow, there's a lot of agencies involved. There's a lot of work involved. There's a lot of planning involved. And so one of the parts that we're involved with is just letting the public know that the Tomcat Ranch is doing its homework. It's doing this for a good reason. It's doing this with the cooperation of CAL FIRE. In fact, you guys are pretty much going to run the show as far as the actual burn, prescribed burn is concerned. And then is there anybody else who's involved with this? I know Tomcat Ranch just said, hey, we want to do this, but was this a recommendation from CAL FIRE? Did you guys say, yes, you really need to do it?
Well, we have been talking to just large landowners in San Mateo County, seeing if anybody has been interested, and Tomcat was for the early bird gets the worm, they stepped up right away and said, that's something we want to incorporate into the management of our ranch. And that helped us get off the ground rather quickly. They were very enthusiastic and jumped at the chance and were very easygoing when the communication was fast. When I suggested things, they came back with an answer really quickly, and they kind of let us design the project with their input, which was
awesome.
Very helpful, because we could move forward pretty quickly. So we've been planning this before the CZU complex. We started the spring before we started planning this, because the archaeology was done by Sonoma State. That took all summer. So while we were fighting fire, the Sonoma State was doing the archaeology, which was very helpful.
That's good to know. So I didn't realize that there had been so much work done over such a long period of time. I mean, so this has been ongoing for months, long before the fire started. So that's great. And that also says a lot about CAL FIRE, that you are already thinking about doing these prescribed burns before things went haywire over the summer.
Well, it's funny. My chief has always been telling us, the big one's going to come and it's going to do this and this. And, everybody, we're I hate to say this, but we kind of poo-pooed him, you know, like, oh, San Mateo County doesn't burn. That's never going to happen, you know. But he was right.
he was really, really right.
Very forward thinking and yeah.
And who is this guy? We should give him credit.
Rich Sampson is my chief. Yeah.
Oh, Rich Sampson. Yes, we've met with Rich Sampson here in Butte No Canyon. He's well known, and he's well, you know, obviously he's admired for a good reason. So yeah, that's interesting. And he was the one who seemed to know the history when we were trying to find out when was the last time there was a big one.
He knew.
He knew exactly. Knew all the history of when anything had happened. And so, yeah, that's great. That's really amazing. And kudos to Tomcat for being so willing to jump on it and help get it going. And hopefully it's something that's adopted by other large landowners. And it's something that is understood and appreciated by, you know, communities around surrounding Tomcat Ranch. And that's what we're trying to do, is just get the word out, educate people, let them know why it's happening and that it is a good thing. And it will help in the long run. So hopefully you're going to try and do this with other large landowners as we go forward.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So if you do free fuel reduction that you accomplish now, will impact, you know, will help you in the event of another fire. Areas in Santa Cruz County that we did fuel reduction in, the fire dropped from, you know, from a running crown fire to a ground fire. It did make a difference. I mean, it still burned, but at much lower intensity. And that was helpful to all the boots on the ground.
And it's also good to get the word out, because we've got a whole lot of very hypervigilant people right now who are ham radio operators or who are emergency response people. And they're on the lookout because, you know, after having lived through the CZU wildfires, people are extremely aware of the danger. And so knowing in advance that this is going to happen is a big deal. And I will be letting all the ham radio people know. But if we get to the point where you think it's very imminent, I hope you keep me in the loop so that I can let our channels know. We can announce it on KPDO. We can let the ham radio people know. I'm sure you guys are working with La Honda Fire or Loma Mar Fire or somebody in that respect also. Is that right?
Well, we have a dedicated public information officer, and she's here in San Mateo County, and she'll be the one doing all the news releases, all the press releases. She puts it out on social media, is really big, of course, because that's what most people use for their news source. Mm-hmm. So she'll be the one to help push that message out. And yeah, we submit a request before the burn. So we have to submit, there's a form called an FC-400, and they like to get that a week before the burn. And then once it's approved by Northern Region, then we can start letting everybody know that this is happening.
And who's your public information officer?
Cecile Juliet.
Okay. I just want to sort of touch base with her and let her know I'd like to be on the list of people she notifies.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think I've explained that we are forming an alliance with various channels up the coast so that other people can be aware of this in, say, Tinnitus Creek or Half Moon Bay or El Granada. If anybody sees smoke, they'll know what it's about. And that way we have a chance of informing the public in advance that this is a prescribed, planned burn.
Absolutely, yeah. And even my own family, you know, my sister lives in Humboldt, and everyone's very shaken up because it was such a traumatic event for the community. All these fires, everyone was just, you know, so shaken up. It's really, you know, it's sad because everyone feels really nervous. And so, the more we know, the better it'll be.
Yeah, I think it's normal in a disaster situation when things have gotten out of control that people will have a slightly traumatic response to that. And that's what we want to prevent. We want people to think that, okay, this is part of the ongoing cure. We're not going to have big wildfires anymore. We will have prescribed burns instead. And I do want to talk to the people involved to some extent with the prescribed burns that the Native Americans did, just to understand from their perspective the value of those prescribed burns. I've read a little bit about it, and I got.
Oh yeah, lost. Yeah, it's really good for reducing pests. You know, in the acorns, in the forest system, it's really good at, like I said, regenerating all these plants that are disturbance dependent, and then all the animals that depend on those plants. You know, with everything becoming more and more forested, you're losing a lot of different species. You kind of don't even realize it, right? Because there's no event you can say wiped it is making these species more endangered. It's just the gradual change to a more forested landscape.
So their habitat is disappearing because we have actually too many trees, right? Yeah. And I remember reading that the Native Americans, one of the advantages was that there were herds of elk and herds of deer that would be able to actually forage on the grasslands because they were clear and open, you know, which is.
Yeah. Once you do have when you have a prescribed burn or a wildfire, you knock that brush back, you can maintain it more easily with herbivores, whether that be elk or cattle or goats or, you know, they're a great fuel management tool. You know, everybody loves the goats. I've also seen people use sheep because they're so charismatic. But they can't eat the woody stuff, right? They can't eat the woody parts of the plant. And so if you knock that back with a prescribed burn, then you can more easily manage it with the herbivores.
Okay, great. And they do have their share right there on Tomcat Ranch of cattle, which I guess is their approach to grass fuel management. So that's good. Okay, well, Sarah, thank you so much for all this information. I really appreciate your time today doing this. And I did speak to Steve Auten, by the way. I really enjoyed speaking to him. He gave me a lot of background on what the role of foresters are. And so I appreciate that. That was great.
Yeah, yeah. He's been a forester in San Mateo County for 20 years. So he knows this area very well.
Yeah. And are you a local resident?
I live in
well?
Santa Cruz.
Oh, okay. A sister city, you might say. Yeah. That's great. Awesome. All right. Is there anything you'd like to share that I didn't know about or didn't ask?
I honestly wanted to talk about the CZU complex a little bit and just say that, that, you know, we worked really hard to try to save those houses. And, you know, I know that my whole unit, is really sad that we lost all those homes. It was really hard on us and it, you know, we didn't lose houses because, of any, you know, inaction, we were just outgunned. Mm-hmm. You know, there is some, you know, I wouldn't want people to think people that we didn't try or we didn't, you know, we were not trying, like we were double shifted. We were trying really hard. We were just outgunned basically. Like there were too many fires and we didn't have the resources. And,
I know. I mean, I don't think anybody holds it against you, Sarah. You don't have to think that way. We had a really nice movie night, CZU Firefighters movie night, where all the local firefighters got together and talked about how they had worked with either La Honda Fire, Loma Mar Fire, or with Cal Fire to help stop the fires. And everybody knew you guys were outgunned. Everybody knew that. You don't have to feel bad about that. We knew. Yeah. We saw it. We were there too. And so there were a lot of people who stayed behind to fight the fires, knowing that there's no way that you guys could have done it all. There's just no way. Too many things going on. So we really appreciate what you did. Everybody celebrates you guys and is applauding you and thanking you. And you shouldn't feel bad. We know what this situation was. A lot of people stayed behind to fight the fires because there was just no way you guys could do it.
Yeah, yeah. It was just tough that, you know, there were some houses at the corner of Swan and Last Chance that we saved. And then the next shift I came back and they'd all burned down. And, you know, I still think about that.
Sure. I think there's only, four or five homes in Last Chance that survived?
Right, right.
And I think the total number of structures in Santa Cruz County was a god-awful 1,200 structures. Yeah. And we're very fortunate in San Mateo County. It was far fewer than that, just a dozen or two. Yeah. But I know it's got to be devastating for everybody. And we actually did talk to the Red Cross disaster mental health people about how do we get over this? I mean, this is devastating. And they had four principles that they said worked. So I'll just share them with you. It works for everybody, yeah. Right? I mean, they've been through a million disasters. And so they know how that communities will suffer and that the people involved will suffer emotionally, or, you know, and get depression sometimes or whatever. And they said there's four things that you can do. A couple of them are just really obvious, and that is be sure that you get the sleep and rest that you need and the nutrition that you need. One of them, though, is a little bit less obvious, but makes sense, and that is connect with people who are supportive to you. You know, your family, your friends, you just each other, commiserate with each other if you need to. And then the other is have a routine. Get yourself up at the same time every day. Yeah. Well, that's good. That's a big help right there. And so it's exercise, it's routine, and it's healthy living. Uh-huh. You know, good sleep, good food, good nutrition, good exercise, and then connecting with people. Yeah. I'm sure you guys have done this. I mean, you're doing it for yourselves, and it's not something they said it takes months and months for people to get over major disasters like this. So, you know, we're all kind of living through it. I remember I was posting emergency messages to KPDO for a month, and I suffered. I really did. I mean, afterwards,
all over there was like, that's harsh.
Yeah. So, it just, everybody has their story, and lots of people who lost their homes going through these ups and downs, it's to be expected. And you just do the best you can to take care of yourself in the process. So yeah, please don't feel bad. We're kind of all there for you.
Oh, thank you. I did want to say thank you to the people that are own the Loma Mar store. They were really sweet. They fed us every day. They had the lunch specials and they had snacks on their porch and coffee. And I really wanted to thank the community of Loma Mar for being so supportive and, like, you know, totally taking care of us. They were very, very kind.
That's great. They'll love to hear it. And Kate and Jeff Haas are the ones who own the Loma Mar store. They'll be thrilled to death. And I know there were a lot of people in the Loma Mar fire brigade, Chris Connor and the two Gonzalvezes, I can't remember their first names, Andrew and somebody. But anyway, yeah, those people, they were just, awesome. Heart and soul people, you know, really great.
Yeah.
So people, it just invested so much of themselves in that fire naturally because it was their place, and you guys were awesome. We appreciate what
thank
you did.
So
don't think we
I've really grown attached to you know, I took this job because, you know, I needed a job, and then I've really gotten attached to San Mateo County, especially the coast side is so people are really sweet and kind and thoughtful and just you know friendly.
It's a community. Yeah, it's a community. It's a real community. And that means people know each other. And even if they disagree with each other, they'll help each other out no matter what.
Yeah,
you know? So
absolutely. You know, even people that, you know, they're helping out their neighbors and stuff. I was really impressed. They really came together. Mm-hmm. Some places fall apart when they have a disaster, and then other places come together.
Mm. Yeah, I think every single little community we have here, it was a real growth experience, people understanding, you know, that there were a lot of people who were fighting for, you know, our collective safety, and everybody, lots of volunteers coming to help in terms of ham radio or emergency response.
You know,
or
people
actual
watering other people's animals. I know that there were some guys that were, you know, they would have to, they're like, oh, I have to go, you know, take care of these animals for somebody else that was evacuated. It was really nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It was great. It was really great. Well, Sarah, it's so great talking to you. I'm really glad that we had the time to do this. Hey, listen, I mean, this was very interesting to me. I think it will be to a lot of people. And we'll be doing other interviews as well with other people involved with this. Cool. So I thanks so much, Sarah, for your time on this and also all the things that you've done. I mean, as a firefighter, that's very valuable to all of us. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
My guest today has been Sarah Colomer, who is a Cal Fire firefighter. She was obviously involved with the Loma Mar side of the wildfire for us. And she has been the vegetation management person overseeing a prescribed burn for Tomcat Ranch for the last few months. We will have a few more interviews with other people involved with managing fire, how prescribed burns have been used in the past, and how they can help us manage wildfires in the future. This is a specific prescribed burn at Tomcat Ranch, but the hope is that this practice will be adopted by other large landowners. This is Catherine Peary at Coastside Conversations, and we will talk to you later.